Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Monday edition of PFT Live. Jadeveon Clowney jumped to the Carolina Panthers last week after 1 year with the Baltimore Ravens. Some similarities to Hassan Reddick, but far more traveled is Clowney, who was the first overall pick in the 2014 draft. He had his time with the Texans, never got a second contract there, and then slipped into 1 year at a time mode. And let me see if I get this right. Seahawks, Titans, 2 years with the Browns, and 1 year with the Ravens. I think that's it. And now the Panthers, obviously, for a guy who is underrated, fair to say, for
100%.
You haven't appreciated, you've made me appreciate him more than most people appreciate him because of the havoc he creates. Don't say the word, please.
Right.
The F up the play dynamic. I remember with the Seahawks, he had that. Doesn't have big stacks numbers, but has big presence when it comes to being a disruptive force for an offensive line.
That's what it is. He's a physical disruptive force, right, for the defense, on the edge of the defense. He's awesome in all areas. It's not superstar pass rusher like we talked about a little last week. I think that's part of the reason he doesn't get the credit he does or needs to as a player, because he was the first pick of the draft and he's never had, you know, that 15 sack season. And we talked about that last week. He's got a bone on bone microfracture knee, so his ability to turn the corner and bend, you know, it's not there. He's playing, you know, on one leg that way. You could see there's no bend when he comes around the corner. But when you talk about just absolutely pushing the pocket to make the quarterback feel uncomfortable, dominating a tackle or tight end to ruin the run game, all that, Jadeveon Clowney's been a force. He's one of the better edge defenders in all of football. And hey, it's a good signing, and good for Jadeveon Clowney getting to go back home. And, you know, what'd he call it last year? His Kobe year? Is that what he called it?
We're going to hear from him in a second.
Yeah.
But before, let me set this up.
Yeah.
Because what happened was, the one place he's stayed more than 1 year since leaving the Texans is Cleveland.
Yeah.
And in his second year in Cleveland, he reportedly said some things about how he thinks they try to showcase Myles Garrett, and it was to his detriment on the other side, and that kind of became a thing. And I think he was, you know, it was time for him to move on. So last year was a reset for him. Here he is explaining why he refers to his 1 year in Baltimore as his Kobe year and why he chose to wear number 24 because of it. Here's Clowney from last week.
I said Kobe year because when I was in Cleveland, a lot of stuff happened that year, on my last year there, and I didn't have the best season. Also, I had to my tricep and played like 12 games with a torn tricep, and all this stuff going on my elbow when I was down there last year, and I didn't have the season I wanted. And they put out that article about me saying all this and that about what was going on in this in that situation. But like I said, the lady with the pen get the last say, so I never got the real response to that or say anything about what was said. I just swallowed that and went to work and got back to grinding and working out and said, I just need one opportunity to show these people that I still can do this at a high level and I'm not the guy that she tried to make me out to be. And that's all I wanted to do that whole offseason and prove that to people. And Baltimore gave me an opportunity to come out there and play. I said, I'm going to just try to make it a comeback year everybody remember. And that's why I picked 24 to help me the Kobe year, the comeback year.
You didn't mention her by name, but I think he's referring to Mary Kay Cabot, the Cleveland dealer, who did the reporting on his unhappiness in Cleveland. And it's kind of odd that he framed it that way. These are unprecedented times as it relates to pathways for athletes to get their voice out there. Turn on your phone and post it on your social media account, right? Post a lengthy article on social media. Like, you can get your version of whatever you want out there, unless the Browns told him, don't get into this, don't say anything about it. Because he did kind of, there was, I feel like there was something to it. I don't think she would have made that up. There was something going on there. And he wanted to leave. And he wanted to reprove himself. He went to Baltimore and he had a career high, tied a career high with 9.5 sacks. Played in every game for the first time since 2017. So whatever the motivation was, he switches to the Kobe number. Kobe made the switch from 8 to 24 at one point. He takes on 24. He rejuvenates his career, and he sets the stage for a two-year deal, breaking the one-year-at-a-time pattern, two-year deal, and goes to Carolina, not far from where he grew up in Rock Hill. People get confused. It's like, whoa, he's playing in North Carolina, but he's from South Carolina. You realize they're two different states. You realize they're like 5 minutes apart. Like, if you ever drive down I-77 through Charlotte, you see the stadium where the Panthers play, and literally within 5 minutes, you see Welcome to Rock Hill.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know the area. I know what you're talking about there. Yeah, good for him. Getting to go back, you know, home, getting more than a one-year deal, right? Awesome football player that'll never get quite the credit he deserves, certainly. And yeah, last year was great. He's an attitude setter. You know, you think differently. Coaches feel better when they get off the bus and they go, Jadeveon Clowney's on our side. He's one of those guys. And he can do it all. He really can. So it's a good signing by Carolina. We know they kind of got a need there on the edge of their defense. No Brian Burns, right? So you got a guy like Jadeveon Clowney who might not be able to rush the passer like Brian Burns, but is still a force out there and somebody you can depend on to wreak havoc in the football game. Where do you stand on the Kobe thing? Where do you stand on that, right? You know, what's your view of Kobe the player, right? There's so much talk, and sometimes people put him in the, oh, he's just right up there with Michael Jordan and LeBron James and right that. And, like, I'm not one that believes that, right? He's awesome. I get that. Top 10 all time for sure. But, like, I'm kind of one that's like, man, Kobe won his first three championships as being the second best player on his team. Like, no other great players, like the LeBron or Michael, were never the second best player on their team as they were winning championships. That means something to me, at least a little bit.
Well, again, and as I've said before, I really haven't paid close attention to the NBA since Michael Jordan left. But in my own kind of vague sense of what you pick up externally, kind of like one of one in his own way, like in a different category, like a unicorn separate and apart from the Jordan-LeBron debate. A guy who carved out his own unique path, had his own form of greatness, the tragic end to the story.
Yeah, I mean, that's
like,
horrible.
It's a very like self-contained, never happened before, never happened again. You say the name, and you know who it is. And yes, plenty of championships, a long run of greatness, but you and I have laughed about this in the past, the whole Jordan versus LeBron. Anybody that thinks that's a real debate is too young to remember the impact that Michael Jordan had on the game and on everyone beyond the game. I mean, Michael Jordan pulled me in to the NBA like never before.
Yeah,
LeBron
didn't
do that.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan moved in ways that people didn't move before when they played basketball. He unlocked a human potential for things that we now see as commonplace on a basketball court that weren't commonplace before he arrived. But Kobe's got his own special niche in the pantheon of all-time greats. Top 10 all-time, yes. I don't know it well enough to even begin to list many of the others. Before you know it, you're going to hear me say Bob Cousy, for crying out loud. I ain't that old. But regardless, yeah, I think that, you know, Jadeveon Clowney's got a long way to go before he, because that was some of the pushback I saw yesterday.
Yeah, right. Like, you're not Kobe. You're not in that stratosphere. Yeah.
You're not Kobe.
Yeah.
But whatever it takes for the motive, I mean, that was the motivation.
Right. That's what it was.
Weird to see him in 24 last year. We show those highlights. Like, it's almost more natural to see an edge rusher in a single digit. When you see an edge rusher in a double digit that's like a running back number, it makes him look smaller.
Yeah,
he looks right. You know, and right. He's long and lean anyway. But I see him in 24, and it's like, who is that?
Yeah,
is that a safety?
Yeah, no.
What's going on here?
That's you know, it's still an aspect of the game I'm getting used to. He wore, what, 90 for most of his career, something in the 90s there with Seattle and Houston. So, but, yeah, it's like what Brady talked about, you know, the new numbers of these edge guys, and you don't know who's wearing what. You're not sure who's a linebacker, who's a safety, whatever. It's definitely made quarterbacks' lives a little more complicated trying to decipher all that.
I remember when Patrick Mahomes said that, it's like you should take it up with your team. Your team is the one that proposed the rule was passed a couple of years ago allowing this. Clowney is going to wear number 7 in Carolina. That's what he wore both in high school.
That's what he wore in South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Yeah, yeah.
Number 7.
Yeah, he wore that.
7 was available.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird to think that any single-digit number is available on any team? That's what became the most precious commodity once they revolutionized the numbering system.
Yeah, the rookies aren't there yet, right? So they didn't get dibs on it either yet. So there's probably a few that are dangling on each team, and you get a free agent like Jadeveon Clowney, he's going to get all over it.
There aren't many free agents still dangling 4 weeks into the process. Not four, it's only 3 weeks into the process. But even then, most of the big names have been gobbled up, whether they re-sign or join a new team. Let's do a draft, pop-up draft.
Whoa.
Players who will benefit the most from a fresh start in 2024. Europe.
All right. Listen, I know we got some quarterbacks out there, but we talk about the quarterbacks a lot. I think the one I'm going to go with right away is, you know, talking about your, you know, Taylor ham and egg sandwich and your Taylor ham or pork roll, North Jersey or South Jersey. Well, North Jersey got raided by South Jersey, a.k.a. Philadelphia, with Saquon Barkley. That's the one I think is going to be, to me, one of the most exciting signings of the free agency period. I mean, one, I'm a big fan of Saquon Barkley, the player, right, the person, all of it. I think he's been in a situation as far as his NFL career where he hasn't been on a team that even gets to show his true full capacity of his talents. Now he's going to be with the best offensive line in football, good quarterback, receivers. Not everybody's going to be just worried about him. The field's going to be opened up. You know, I'm excited just to see what that looks like, to see what he looks like with all that space and that football team. I think that's going to be amazing to watch.
I think you're right. He was on my short list, and there's this notion that maybe the Eagles will be able to use him more effectively, more creatively, that the Eagles are at a higher level than the Jets right now. So you bring in a guy like that, building your team from the inside out.
Yeah.
You get a weapon that can do a lot of different things, take some of the heat off of Jalen Hurts in the passing game, and really help elevate the Eagles
right
back to where they were a couple of years ago. I got to start with Russell Wilson, for crying out loud. I mean, because you think about where he was, and it was just a disaster. And it was clear that Sean Payton, I mean, from the league meetings last week, the clip is out there. Somebody says, "How hard was it hard to take $85 million in dead cap money to move on from Russell Wilson?" No. No. So the Steelers, for as badly as Sean Payton didn't want him around, the Steelers wanted him. And we'll see how it goes, and I'm still not 100% sure he's going to earn that starting job in training camp. He's got his work cut out for him with Justin Fields there. But night and day difference for Russell Wilson from being in a place where it just wasn't working. It was 2 years of ugliness, and now he goes to a place where, you know, let's ride, let's forge, let's do whatever. But for him, this is what he needs, because as we've said in the past, he's got to resurrect his case for Canton. If the past 2 years continue, he may have to wait a long time to get in.
Yeah.
He needs to turn it around at his next stop, like Kurt Warner did when he got to the Cardinals.
Yeah, I would agree with you there, right? I mean, talk about a guy that benefited from a scenery change. I mean, we know he's going to go out there and play and do all that, but it was in a no-win situation. Nothing was good in Denver. And, yeah, now he at least has a breath of fresh air here, and he's going to have to compete with Justin Fields. We'll see where it goes. We know he's in the leader house to be the starter there. I'm going to go to your, an old teammate of yours, an old Viking. I'm going to go to Danielle Hunter. That, to me, is one of the one that I look at where I go, first off, Danielle Hunter is a freak of nature. He's one of the best pass rushers in football, right? And been in Minnesota, had the neck injury, right? He's been a little unhappy with his contract situation the last few years, right? They obviously didn't want to extend him and didn't feel comfortable paying him what he wanted to. So I think it's like, yeah, good. Hey, they got a replacement in Jonathan Greenard, but I think it's a great thing for Danielle Hunter. New place, new energy, and I think really going to a defense that is going to fit him even more. He's going to be, I think, unlocked to another level as a pass rusher. It's just going to be like literally wide up, line up wide, go get the quarterback, don't think of anything else. And Brian Flores' defense and these other defenses he's played the last few years, it's not necessarily just do that all the time. There's a little more thinking. There's some other stuff within the offense. But him with Will Anderson on the other side too, that's where I also, the change of scenery, teams aren't just going to be able to double Danielle Hunter. They're going to pose some problems for people there. So I'm excited to see him in his new spot.
He had more sacks than anyone in the history of the NFL before the age of 25. Now, sacks has only been around as an official stat for 45 years or so. But still, the most to 25 ever. He had the neck injury for a year or so. And there, it's weird that he managed to stay in Minnesota as long as he did. He signed a longer-term contract at like $14 million a year, and then the market got to 27, and he's been trying to get something that more fairly compensates him ever since then. He gets it in Houston. I agree with you. I think he's got the potential to be great. I'm going to go for a team that he left, the Vikings. When they pick up Aaron Jones, that happened so fast, and it felt so right for Jones, who seemed – I remember when he said after the Packers lost in the divisional round, the future's really bright here, and I'm thinking, you're not going to be part of it. You're due to make $11 million, $12 million, and you missed a bunch of games last year. I don't think you're going to be there. And, he rejected a pay cut. They signed Josh Jacobs, and he lands in Minnesota. And so he knows the division. He knows, he loves going to Lambeau Field. And it was what the Vikings needed at a time when Kirk Cousins had just walked out the door. You want somebody who wants to be there. And he's still got some gas in the tank. We saw it late in the year when he did get healthy. He's got the potential to make it closer to Dalvin Cook last year than it was with the revolving door of Alexander Mattison and then Cam Akers for a little while and then Ty Chandler. This stabilizes that position and will help take some of the pressure off of whoever the quarterback is.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he's still got a big play explosive ability that I think is different than Mattison or Dalvin Cook. That's the value of Aaron Jones. I'm with you there. I mean, you said it. We saw it at the end of the year. We saw it in the Dallas wild card game. We saw him rip off a 50-something yard run against the 49ers in the divisional playoff game. So he's that type of guy still, right, that can catch a screen on his own 35, and we can go, damn, he had a 65-yard touchdown on the screen. That's where he's special. I saw him a few weeks ago. I think I told you, right? I saw him at the Madison Square Garden at the Big East Final Four. You know what he asked me about? He asked me about how we can help the running back market, and I was like, damn, this is something Florio and I talk about all the time. And he was very interested and wanted to pick our brain about that going into the future. So maybe we'll do that. Yeah. They're trying to get the running backs together to figure out some solutions here. Right. So, hopefully we'll hear from him at some point. But, good for him. I like your pick.
We've been brainstorming ideas ever since it came up. I mean, then the season started and you kind of get away from it, but they're in a tough spot. And he saw what happens. You get to a point in your contract where they look at you, they look at how old you are, they look at what you cost, and they decide we can get somebody else.
Yeah.
Now, they went with another veteran in Josh Jacobs, but, inevitably they're gonna draft somebody just like they drafted him, because that's where you get the cheapest talent that is healthiest and in some ways even more effective. Those guys come out of the gates and off they go.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. All right, my pick. Here we go. I'm going to Hollywood, baby. Hollywood as in Kansas City, Missouri. Hollywood Brown, I think that's a guy that I look at. You talk about change of scenery that could change our whole perspective on the player, right? I mean, had some moments with Baltimore. It was underwhelming for a first-round pick. Arizona, we never really saw it. It hurt him a little bit. Of course, that Kyler got hurt and all that. But I still think there's gas in the tank here, like we talked about with Jadeveon earlier on here. There's a guy here that still can, you know, go deep for a 50-yard bomb, catch a shallow cross, turn it up the sidelines, run for 50 yards. He doesn't need to be the, oh, he's got 100, and we got to give him the ball 110 times here. But I think he's going to have a real spot of value in this Kansas City offense, and they'll make a little niche for him as far as, hey, it's Kelce, hey, it's Rashee Rice and all that, and then, ooh, we got a few plays or defenses forget about you, and every game Hollywood comes away with like 4 or 5 receptions for 120 or 95 or whatever. And I think it's a great move for him and for Kansas City right there.
Well, and another reason that move may be more important.
I know.
It's not otherwise on the outline today. This popped up over the weekend.
Right.
There was an incident in Dallas. Two cars were racing, a Corvette and a Lamborghini. There was a crash caused by the racing. This is what police believe.
You're right.
And what they know is one of the two cars in this accident is registered to Rashee Rice, who has been developing as a guy who can make a difference for the Kansas City Chiefs in the passing game. They were looking to talk to him. Nobody knows who was driving. Nobody knows if he was even on the scene. There were people on the scene who left, who fled
Sounds
the
like
scene
it.
Of this accident,
right.
Which under Texas law and the law of most states can create a major problem. If there's an accident with injuries, if the operator of one of the cars involved leaves, you've got problems completely separate and apart from whatever you did or didn't do to possibly contribute to the crash. So that is percolating, and
right.
We're following that. It's a developing story where they want to talk to him. And as best we can tell, I just checked in with the PFT writers. The latest news is, and I think Josina Anderson reported he's retained counsel. Well, probably a good idea to retain counsel when a car registered to you is involved in this incident and you're nowhere to be seen and anyone else in the car is nowhere to be seen, because at some point he's got to sit down with somebody and talk this out.
Right.
So all the more reason, potentially, we don't know how it's going to play out. All the more reason for the Chiefs to have extra help at the position. Last one for me, and I hate to go back to Pittsburgh.
But that's your second favorite team.
What I said earlier.
Your favorite team. You love them so much, so we understand. Go back. Just make every draft.
But
the Steelers and the Vikings. Just do all that all the time.
How does Justin Fields not make it into this draft? Justin Fields clearly needed a fresh start. He got to handpick his team, basically. He sees a path to playing. Now, you know, they're all going to say, this happens all the time, all the right things publicly. But, you know, Justin Fields targeted the Steelers because he looks at Russell Wilson and what he's done the past couple of years and thinks, I could maybe win that job. And,
Yeah. You
know, worst case scenario is I do enough that they decide between the two of us, they're going to keep me for 2025. That's why he, you know, like the Eagles, to the extent that we look at them and say, well, why did they trade for Kenny Pickett when they could have traded for Justin Fields, who's a better fit to what Jalen Hurts does? You know, beyond the possibility that Fields would be better and stuck on the bench, he's going to be stuck on the bench because they're not going to throw Jalen Hurts overboard. He's got an opportunity. No one's under contract after this year in Pittsburgh at quarterback. He's got an opportunity to prove to them this year that he should be the starter next year, regardless of whether he gets onto the field as the starter this year.
Yeah, I think he can look at it in two ways, and he can believe one that he's like, wait, I'm physically as good as Russell Wilson right now, if not better. I mean, we know he's a better runner, right? Can he throw it like Russell Wilson? I don't know. Probably not to that capacity, right? But it's still damn good. We saw a lot of big-time throws from Justin Fields. And then I think, like, you know, to your point too, Mike, you're right. There's no way – there's no political football attachment at quarterback for the starter right now. Yeah, Russell's the guy, and they're trying to frame it around him to a degree, but I don't think it's to such a degree where they're like, hey, you got no chance to play here. Russell's the starter. He's the man. We're just going to – it's bouquet of flowers and red carpet for him no matter what. No, he's going to have to earn it. I mean, if Justin Fields comes out and just blows people away in training camp and has three awesome preseason games, right, and Russell's kind of like, ooh, it didn't look that good, blah, 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 I don't think the Steelers are the type of group they're going to be like, well, you know, it's Russell. We're going to play him. They're going to play the guy they think they can win football games with. So that's where, you know, I totally understand Justin Fields' position in this. Short-term play, long-term play, there's a lot of possibilities here. That's for sure.
In the flurry of news last week that came out of Orlando,
yeah,
with the rule changes, with all the different sound bites, I think the one thing that got overlooked,
yeah,
for its implications,
right,
is Mike Tomlin, the coach of the Steelers, saying that Russell Wilson is in the pole position. Pole position means nothing.
Yeah.
Pole position means you're the guy that gets to start the race first.
Right.
How many times does a guy in pole position not win the race?
Yeah.
You just get to start first, and you might get passed. You might get passed early. And, you know, we've talked about this before. It's not like Russell Wilson is going to huff and puff and threaten to blow somebody's house down. He's got to be a good soldier this year. And they have him at $1.2 million. I saw a few weeks ago somebody said, oh, he might get cut before week one. We've talked about this. Why would you cut him? First of all, Justin Fields, if he leapfrogs him, could get injured. And you've got a veteran backup with a Super Bowl win under his belt for $1.2 million.
Exactly.
You're not letting him walk away.
That's it.
So he hasn't been promised anything. He hasn't been given anything other than pole position, which ultimately is not relevant to the outcome of the race. It has some relevance to the direction the race is going to go, but if the wheel comes off, it doesn't matter that you were in pole position. So we'll see what happens with Justin Fields there. But he handpicked Pittsburgh because
yep,
he sees that as the place where he can resurrect.
You good? Do you want to pick any more Vikings or Steelers players for the draft? Anybody else you're missing? You want to get Patrick Queen for this draft?
Can I? You mentioned Aaron Jones. Wanted to talk about running back market. Could we get Aaron Jones the co-host? Could we do that? Maybe we expand the draft to a different
right
industry. All right. I mentioned the rule changes from last week, and I talked about something on Friday, and Chris and I have put our heads together on this, and I've gone back to the league. We're gonna clarify the existence of what could be a problematic loophole for the NFL that they might want to deal with between now and May as they adjust to the ramifications of the new kickoff formation. We'll do that next here on PFT Live.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The NFL was so intent to get the revolutionary new formation to the kickoff through last week that there are some loose ends.
Yeah.
That, as it was presented in a one-page summary that came out of the league meetings, they are going to work with the special teams coordinators, the officiating department. They may have some changes, some adjustments, some tweaks in May. Now, you still have to get 24 owners to go along with it, but I feel like they have the owners in the mindset where they made the case. The commissioner seems to be more powerful than ever. Whatever he wants, he gets. He got that push through last week. As we heard the clip from John Mara going into Tuesday from the Monday sessions, if they twisted enough arms on Monday night at the cocktail party, they would get another vote and get to where they needed to be. They got to 29 yes, 3 no. And this is the wrinkle that someone raised with me when we did the show on Friday. The idea that because the penalty on the try, okay, any penalty on a scoring play, a touchdown, gets enforced on the try, you can't defer it to the kickoff as you previously could. Any penalty on the try doesn't get deferred to the start according to the NFL.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about this.
Yeah.
According to the NFL.
Right.
Any penalty on the try gets enforced on the kick. But the problem is, if we have the graphic with the penalty on the kick, nothing changes except the spot of the kick. So the little brown dot there, which kind of looks like a piece of cooked Taylor ham, that thing is going to move 5 yards or 15 yards. Everything else, the X's and the circles, stay where they are, which creates no disincentive for the defense on the try to avoid a penalty.
Right.
Because anything they do on that play is only going to move the kick point. It doesn't change anything else. And because the play doesn't start until the ball is caught, as I said when we first recognized that wrinkle, why would you even take the penalty? Why would you move the spot where your kicker's practicing putting it from the 35 into where he puts it in the landing zone? Now you're going to make it a closer shot when he's used to the 35. Now you're going to make it harder for him. You're going to give him something different. So that creates the opportunity.
Yeah.
And coaches need to be very careful in how they articulate this, because obviously they're not going to be trying to hurt the kicker, but if you want to get inside the kicker's head, I mean, how do they always get inside the kicker's head with that late timeout? No, you know how you get inside the kicker's head? We're coming to block the kick.
Yeah.
And if we happen to take you out in the process
right.
while we try to block the kick, so be it.
Yeah.
Give us a 15-yard penalty, because it doesn't matter, because it doesn't change anything as it relates to the next play.
Right. No, they gotta fix that, certainly, right? That's not right. That's you can't have an unlawful play where it's just like, oh, it's the Wild West, screw everything, no rules apply on this play, right? That makes no sense. It goes back to a little what you said last week about the NFL, I think, being a little clunky and, you know, getting out the details, figuring out the finer details, all of that. Because, yeah, as what we've seen to this point and everything we've gotten information on, that's the way it stands. But as you know, and I texted you on Friday, I had some special teams coaches text me, and apparently they know something more than we know or we've been led on to believe right now.
Or they don't.
Or
they don't.
Or maybe they don't.
Because I went to the league and I asked that question,
right.
And they said that's not the case.
Yeah,
you can't defer it. To the start of the next drive.
I know. I don't know what's going to happen there. Because, I mean, I have, like, the text in front of me right here. And, of course, I'm not going to expose. But this is two different special teams coaches who were pretty clear with me that after the kickoff, yes, you can move the kick spot like you talked about. Which, like, to your point, makes no freaking sense anymore. Like, if the ball, you can't go until the ball touches the receiver's hands. What the hell, we just to watch the ball kick it higher? And we go, oh, wow, that was a pretty one. That went higher.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
Unless it's such a great returner to now you're insured to just get the touchback and you just go, we're fine with that. That would maybe one, like maybe Tyreek Hill's already returned two, and they're like, all right, you know what, we will kick it from the 50 and just make sure it's in the end zone and it's a touchback, right? Maybe that'd be some
every
value.
Every team has a kicker that can get a touchback.
For the most part, right, exactly right. I know. Yeah. For the most part, you're exactly right. I was just giving a little bit of a for instance there. But I was led to believe also in these texts that, yeah, if there was going to be a penalty roughing the kicker on the PAT, that, like, let's say there is a touchback, Okay, you get the ball at the 30. They can enforce the penalty after that now and let them have the ball at the 15. That's the way it was described to me. But, Mike, I mean, I'm with you. I don't know what the hell to believe here. The NFL obviously has let out information that we have seen that doesn't really talk about that. I have special teams coaches who I know and trust, and, damn, you know some of these guys, too. They're not trying to BS me or anything here, right? And
no, somebody's BSing them.
Exactly.
That's
There's some
point.
Disconnect
somebody's
here.
Somebody's BSing
There's
them.
Some disconnect, right.
Yeah.
Apparently, right.
Let me take it back to when they first presented this proposal when I studied it. I raised with someone
you did.
In the know the penalty issue, and I said, you know, because the first concern was on a touchdown, if you don't have the option to enforce later and it has to be enforced on the try, you may have open season on the quarterback.
Right.
On fourth and goal from the five. What the hell? We'll just blast him and try to keep him from scoring. And if he does, so what? It goes from the 15 to the 7 for the 1 point. It goes from the 2 to the 1 to the 2 points. So what? The other side of it is this issue of enforcing the penalty on the try. And I was told, well, that's probably something that we'll tweak this weekend, meaning the weekend before they did the vote. The only thing they tweaked was to move the touchback from the 35 to the 30. They didn't tweak anything else.
Right.
So the final product comes out, and this is what I did. I asked the league, what's the procedure for enforcing a penalty on the try? They told me it gets enforced on the kick, not after the kick, not on the first play from scrimmage. And I read what they put out. I asked them, after you said what you told me, I asked them again, are we sure? They followed up with a question for me to make sure I was asking what they thought I was asking, and we are 100% on the same page. According to the National Football League, on the record, a penalty on the try is enforced by moving the piece of Taylor Ham, not moving the 21 players, just moving the spot where you kicked the ball from.
Yeah.
That's it, making it no real incentive to avoid a penalty on the try.
Right.
And that's a hole that they need to plug in May.
Yeah.
And it sounds like they at least – but here – okay, so let's say that we're having a conversation now after the May meetings.
Yeah.
And they have decided that a penalty on the try gets enforced after the kick. So if it's a touchback, it goes to the 15, not the 30. What happens if they return it for a touchdown? What happens if that kick gets returned for a touchdown? You already know, as he's loose. No, he's not. He's not loose. Because once he scores, the ball's going back to the 15. There's no other play that I can think of, no other occasion in football where something that happened before the play even started is going to affect the outcome of that play. Now, we've seen free play where the guy jumps offside and Aaron Rodgers knows I can throw it deep, but that's still in the confines of that play.
Yeah.
We'll know if that happens.
Yeah.
If they enforce that penalty on the try. After the kick,
right.
We'll know before the kick, no matter what this guy does, he ain't scoring a touchdown. It's going back to the 15. That is a weird bridge for the NFL to cross.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely an odd one, right? I mean, have we never had that type of scenario at all? You know, as you're saying it, I'm going, you're right. I guess we've never really, you know, enforced the penalty after the kickoff type of thing. I feel like was a part of the league to a degree at some point. Am I wrong about that, Mike? I mean, maybe I am wrong about it. But yeah, that's an odd scenario. You're right. And there's not many plays like that where it's like, wait, here's this play and we're going to affect this play because of two plays ago and what happened there. That doesn't make sense. So they obviously got some things to talk about and remedy here. There's no doubt about that. And as we know here, there's definitely a disconnect right now to what certainly the special teams coaches seem to believe and where the league's at with the language right now, and hopefully they figure it out.
This is what happens when you push something through without fully considering the ramifications, the consequences, both anticipated and unintended. That's why I said a week ago, they're not getting this thing through. I mean, it's the longest proposal I've ever seen. How are they going to get this through in 2 days of meetings where, you know, it's I mean, it's not quite a vacation. But it's not like, you know, and yeah, sometimes they do some important business at the league meetings. But this is too much to do in 2 days. This is the kind of thing that cries out for further study, further recommendations, further tweaks, and we'll finalize it in May. They wanted to get the votes so they know they're going to have the new kickoff, and now they're going to iron out these rough spots, hopefully. I just don't know how you iron this rough spot out.
Yeah.
How do you do it? What do you do that wouldn't be a revolutionary change to the game? And I can think of no situation where before the play starts, we know that the outcome of that play is going to be affected by a penalty that happened before. The only thing is the option to defer after a kick, after a touchdown.
Yeah.
We're either going to apply it on the try or apply it on the kick. That doesn't affect the outcome of the kick.
Yeah, do we
it
not
affects
have
where everyone's place?
Adjust the spot of the ball after the kickoff? I mean, I guess that's where I'm getting confused in my own brain.
No, there's
right.
never
we don't.
Been a penalty gets enforced and the yardage gets taken off after a play ends.
Right.
Because that would have introduced this possibility of somebody scoring a touchdown and the touchdown coming off the board for something that happened two plays ago. That's never been on our radar screen for football. So
they gotta think this one out.
They're taking the surprise onside kick away. We know that. They may be adding this weird thing where guy scores a touchdown. No, he doesn't. It's going back to the 15-yard line. So they better figure this out.
And I think that's their only option. I think they got to do it. It's a little weird, but I think it's the way it's got to go. I don't really know. I mean, because like you said, the other one's pointless. This has a little value, and it's still going to keep the play fresh. It's not like the team's still going to go, hey, if we return it, okay. I mean, we're still maximizing it, and, yeah, we got to go to the 15. That's the way it is. But I don't know if there's another solution in my brain, at least as it sits right now, that's any better than that.
I don't think there's any solution that would be easy to understand and easily comprehensible by the fans and smooth and natural.
Right.
You know, I've had people suggest different things, and it's too clunky. It's too complicated. You don't want it to be clunky and complicated. You want it to be simple. The basic rules of football are simple. We don't need some sort of, well, but if there's a roughing the kicker penalty on a try, then this goes to this and this goes to that, and we get out a protractor. And no, it's they got to mess with this.
Yeah.
And this is their problem.
Right.
They pushed it through without considering everything thoroughly, and they just, we'll figure it out later. Good luck. To that, we say, good luck. All right. We're going to take a break. When we return, some takeaways from the Drake May Pro Day workout from late last week. We'll have that next here on PFT Live. Jaden Daniels has a mag. I can't look at that. Apparently, it's a bursa-sack issue. He says, my elbow is perfectly fine. The words perfect and fine do not come to mind when looking at that image, unadulterated, of his elbow. But he says he's perfectly fine. Whatever it is, it doesn't cause pain. And if you just bang it, it apparently swells up. But that was a big takeaway from last week's Pro Day workout. There's something wrong with Jaden Daniels' elbow.
Yeah, it's like double jointed, and that's why he can just flick the thing 75 yards, and he just looks like go-go gadget arm because he's so flexible in the elbow and shoulder joint. He's doing fine from everything we saw. I'm not worried about the way he threw the ball last week at his Pro Day.
But apparently it is something with a bursa-sack. Shereen Williams said she's got something in her wrist. If she just hits it a certain way, it swells up. It looks awful, but it doesn't affect anything. So it's this bursa. And I think there was and I'm always leery of doctors who chime in on social media with opinions about patients they've never actually examined. But apparently this is something where there's a bursa-sack in that elbow that can swell but not affect structure, mobility, performance, anything. So apparently that's what it was. Perfectly fine is what Jaden Daniels says. The Drake May Pro Day workout was late last week. Let's hear from him first, and then we'll get Chris's thoughts on how he did. Here's Drake May on how he thought his Pro Day performance went.
Yeah, I thought I threw it well. You know, I thought I was spinning it great. Free, I wish I had back. Always, you know, we have 70 throws. You're going to miss a few. That was the goal, to be perfect. I hit it today. Didn't accomplish that, but I feel like I threw it well. I think the guys did a great job, and just trying to show different things, moving on the run, different drops, and just throwing it with accuracy. Yeah, I think I can, you know, throw it deep with the best of them, so I wanted to show that. I think, you know, every deep ball, I think, is completed, so that was the goal. Some of the intermediate ones I wish I had back, but that happens. But, yeah, definitely come out here, and letting it rip deep was definitely emphasis.
We all have our crutches verbally, And as broadcasters, we've tried to become aware of them and avoid them where we can. But Drake May's got that thing where every answer he says, yeah, before he gives the answer. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
I noticed that when we
the combine.
Yeah. Every time. And it's not malicious on his part. It just is it's just a habit that you develop, and somebody needs to say, you just have to be aware of it and try to, and he'll say,
slowly cancel it out. Right. Yeah. We all got that, right? You know, got to have somebody.
We all been there. We all done it. And we still need a tune up from time to time.
Right.
Trust me.
Right. No doubt about it. You know, he had some like eye popping throws, right? He's got some throws again, where we talked about when we did the quarterback rankings and all that, where you just go, wow. I mean, that's some throw, all of that. But overall, the workout, I found to be very underwhelming. I mean, like he said, I missed some throws. I missed some throws I'd like to have back on the intermediate ones. If you watch the workout itself, right, I mean, he has plenty of throws where he is shaking his head. I mean, he has throws, Mike, again, where, hey, like this one right here is great. There's no doubt about it. But there's so many deep balls where guys kind of just jog underneath it and catch it. You know, it's a lot of the same things. It wouldn't have made me feel good. And that was not the type of workout where you went, ooh, that's the number three pick in the NFL draft. That's all I'm going to say. You know, as we heard Jerod Mayo talk last week, there's work to be done with Drake May. The ball was all over the place at the workout. Number three picks of the draft don't miss out routes by 8 feet. Right? They don't throw slant routes and things where they miss guys that way, or they have to throw it really careful on short because they know they don't know where it's going to go. So that's where Drake May, you know, again, there's some eye-popping traits, but has he put it all together? By no way has he put it all together right now. And, you know, that's where, again, I'm going to be intrigued. There's no way I would take Drake May in the top five or the top 10. I think he is a down-the-round project. Let him sit on the bench for a few years because there's some things he has to work on in his game.
And the thing about pro day workouts, they're only significant when they're not perfect, because they should be perfect. Because think about it. You have access to players that you know.
Right.
You're not thrust into this revolving door of, I've never seen this guy before. Oh, now he's going to run a 7 route. You know who he is, you know how he runs, and you've had the opportunity, if you've taken advantage of it, to script and rehearse everything. It all is something that you should have done multiple times. The full 50 throws or however many there are in a given pro day workout, you do it ahead of time. You drill it, and there shouldn't be anything other than perfect ball, perfect ball, perfect ball, perfect ball.
Right, and if, right.
And that's the other thing, too. If he's shaking his head, that gets to the other thing you and I love about watching quarterbacks and studying them, you know, kind of in the wild, in their element. That's that body language stuff that we're always looking for. Like, man, you don't want to be projecting that negativity at your own pro day workout. Scouts and coaches are going to pick up on that.
Yeah, he tried to fight through it. He did. Like he said in the workout press conference there. You know, hey, there's some throws I missed, right? I mean, he was trying, because he was alluding to that. He missed some throws that the NFL community is going to look at and go, wow. Number three picks usually don't miss a throw like that. You know, he got a little shell-shocked and could not just cut it loose for the rest of the workout, really. He was very careful with it, like I said. So, yeah, I mean, again, there's some skills there that you definitely like. There's some things that got to be worked on mechanically for sure. The control of the football is not even in the same class as the other five quarterbacks we talk about in the first round, right? And the guy the guy we're going to talk about next, Michael Penix Jr. I mean, you watch his pro day, you watch Drake May's pro day. Michael Penix, it's just one laser, big-time throw after another. It's so easy and natural for him to just let it go, and that's not the same sense you get, you know, from Drake May at this point.
Well, then let's do what you just said. Let's break, and we'll talk about the Michael Penix Jr. Pro Day workout from last week when this Monday edition of PFT Live continues right after this. Washington quarterback Michael Penix Jr., one of the top prospects this year, had his Pro Day workout last week. Lefty, we like that. Chris and I, both left-handed. Nice to see a left-hander breaking into the NFL. Chris, what did you take away from Penix.
Well, I think Michael Penix really helped himself. I think, one, just because of the way he looked out there, right? A little bit, oh, is he frail, right? He's kind of long and skinny, and he has the injury history. But he obviously showed you, oh, look, like I can put some weight on. I can look like a specimen more than you realize, right? The 40 time he ran was really impressive because he's very looked at as, wait, he's a pocket passer. Yeah, well, when the pocket's open, Mr. Pocket Passer's got 4-5 speed to go run for some, you know, yards here. This is not just a pocket passer here. That's an athlete. Let alone, Mike, he is such a natural thrower of the football. Just the clips you saw there. You don't need to be an ex-quarterback in the NFL or a head coach. You saw it. It comes out of his hands so clean, so effortless. He can do whatever. Like, it's Michael Penix Jr. is a first-round quarterback. He is a top 20 pick. The difference between J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix to me is I don't know what. Just no injury history, and he's younger. Doesn't everybody in the league want a guy that's experienced and played a lot? Well, this is that guy that does it. He can push the ball all over the field, right? He's extremely talented. There's no way you can watch film of Drake May or Michael Penix Jr. and come away watching the film and go, Drake May is better than Michael Penix Jr. There is absolutely no way. None. Let alone could you come away from the workouts and doing that. Michael Penix Jr. is being underrated in this draft. Him, J.J. Wow. McCarthy, Bo Nix are so close. They're all right there. And, yeah, he is definitely worthy of a top 20 pick in my eyes, Mike.
He reportedly will visit this week with the Giants, Falcons, Raiders, Broncos, and
Ooh.
Steelers. Ooh, intriguing.
Ooh.
Pittsburgh.
Ooh.
Second favorite team.
I would think the Raiders.
First favorite team might be looking at him, too, and trying to stay
seriously.
Off the radar.
Yeah. I mean, listen, he's going to be ready to go. He's played in a big-time offense. The offense was on his shoulders to make throws, decisions. So you talk about the guys here, right? I mean, experience. Him and Bo Nix have played a ton of football. It's 2 years in a row of 4,500-plus passing yards. And it wasn't like he was throwing, you know, 74 screens a game. He was throwing the ball down the football field. Like, I look at the Raiders and go, hey, you might get shut out. I don't know what's going to happen with where you're sitting in the draft. But, man, you're telling me they don't want to take Michael Penix Jr. there at, what are they, pick 13, 12, somewhere in there?
Yes, you know? 13.
Right. You know, so I would certainly think that's on the board for the Raiders.
He seems to have really long arms.
Very long arms. Huge hands.
We showed.
Right.
And what impressed me when the cause was lost against Michigan, we talked to him about this at the Super Bowl. He was injured. He
hung in there.
Trying to grab at an area like lower abdomen. He was getting no protection whatsoever. He did not tap out. He hung in there. Now, he seemed defeated, but he did not quit.
Yeah.
He stayed in there until the very end. It would have been very easy for him to justify walking away and just calling it a day because it was over for Washington in that game, but he stayed in there, and I think that's just one of those intangible qualities that project to, you know, a guy that
that's
there are going to be days where it's not my day, and those are the days where the great ones find a way to turn it into their day to reverse that momentum.
Right.
We're going to take a break. When we return, can the UFL build any momentum? Can spring football ever thrive? The latest iteration debuted this weekend. I got a few thoughts on that. We'll discuss that when PFT Live continues right after this.
Well, 58 is some kind of leg. And now look at this. They're going to motion here on fourth down and 11. And the punter, Brad Wing, takes the snap. He wants to throw. Brad Wing lofts it downfield and it's caught to the goal line. Touchdown! It's the center, Alex Millett!
You know, that's not your typical big guy touchdown. He had to make the catch, stretch out, and then rumble, bumble, stumble 15 yards to the end zone and blast his way in. That was at the end of the first half in yesterday's game between the San Antonio Brahmas, coached by Wade Phillips, and the DC Defenders. I watched most of that game yesterday afternoon. And I'm trying to will myself into being interested in spring football. The problem is it's hard to be naturally interested in football when it's not football season. But the UFL, the combination of the XFL and the USFL debuted this weekend. Not the best weekend to move the needle nationally. Not
think?
The best weekend
it's
to stand out.
Borderline stupid.
Like,
what?
Are they
There's
trying?
March Madness
are they
and
trying
opening day?
To fail?
Right. Right.
Is this some tax write-off I don't know about for The Rock? I don't know, but yeah, they do some things really, really well. But from a business standpoint, I mean, the website, frankly, as somebody who knows a thing or two about, you know, a website that is easy to navigate and digest, and yeah, their website, it's just clunky, and it's just the whole thing. They need to make some better business decisions. Starting the weekend they did was not a good decision.
Does their website have snarky, stupid headlines on there sometimes?
No, it would be better if it did.
Yeah, I hear you.
Here's what they do well. Yeah. Give me your thought. I don't know if you watched
no,
any of it.
I didn't,
any thoughts about
I didn't
what,
watch.
What
well, I pay attention a little and like see highlights and kind of know what's going on. My thought is like what you've heard me say in the past. There's one thing that is clearly missing. I could watch spring football, right? I have no problem with that. But what I like to watch things that are special. That's the difference, and that's what I don't see, right? I can watch the women's basketball tournament and go, damn, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, whoa, these are special players. I can watch the men and still do that. And, of course, baseball or whatever. You know, with football, you know, you need star power. You need to go, wait, I'm watching something different or special here. And that's what the league is missing, and they're going to have to remedy that. They need a guy like, you know, Matt Corral, right, who got drafted a few years ago. I saw some of his throws and highlights in the weekend, and I went, whoa, like that looked real, right? They need somebody to bust out, or they got to steal somebody from the league or whatever. But I think that's the biggest thing that, you know, gets a guy like me not to tune in is I'm just like, eh, I just, you know, it's just not that great. There's nothing special to tune into.
Corral was one of the top prospects just 2 years ago. He led the Birmingham Stallions to a debut win over the Arlington Renegades on Saturday afternoon. The thing I like about it the most.
Yeah.
Now, it's strange. The NFL has taken the XFL's kickoff, and the XFL/UFL doesn't even use it anymore. The transparency with the officiating, with Dean Blandino, Mike Pereira, we see what's happening. We understand it as it's happening. There's nothing hidden. That's the best way to get people to stop saying the fix is in. If you embrace that transparency and there's nothing hidden, people don't start wondering what's really going on behind the curtain. That's the biggest thing the NFL could learn from the UFL. We got to take a break. We'll wrap things up right after this. We know that Bill Belichick won't be coaching this year. We think he's going to show up on TV somewhere. According to Andrew Marchand of The Athletic, Belichick is planning to write a book.
Ooh.
And look, I know a thing or two about the publishing industry. It takes time to get it onto shelves. I don't know what his timing is, but he probably doesn't want to write a book that's going to come out next year if he's coaching next year. He wants to get it done and get it out there so it's there and he has a presence for the 2024 season.
Yeah, I might, you know, I don't know. It'd probably be one of those things. It might be a few years. I mean, damn, Bill Belichick, his life, the chronicles of Belichick, the stories, the history, all of that. I would think it's not something that you just, you know, do in a few months' time. That's for sure. So we'll see where it goes. I'm interested to see how open he is and it's kind of the stories he talks about.
The only title can be No Days Off. There can be no other title for the Bill
On
Belichick.
To Cincinnati.
We have some suggestions here.
Right.
No days off. No
what,
days off.
What Brian, no what Brian off am I texting? I like that one. I was,
yeah,
you know,
that would be good too. By the way, happy birthday to my nephew, Miles. He's 2 years old today.
Happy birthday, Miles. See ya.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.